Welcome to Dish Nation.
What are we dishing about today?
Okay, so Keisha called us thinking about changing up her look. Now, we'll fill you in on that a little later.
Plus, what celebrity says they were Black Twitter before there was a Black Twitter?
And Andrew Foyne talks to Amy Poehler, Patrick Schwarzenegger, and the cast of the new movie Moxie.
Sherry's out today, but we got you covered. Yo, Heidi, what are the Kardashians up to now?
Oh, well, I guess maybe there's hope that Kourtney Kardashian and Scott Disick could end up back together. Of course, they're dating other people now, but check out this clip from the upcoming final season of The Kardashians. Take a look.
Oh my God.
Or propose.
It'll be amazing. Make my daughter respectable.
Well, I love you, and I'm ready to marry you right here, right now.
Wait, he's saying some real words.
Kourtney knows that eventually we'll get married.
Oh my gosh.
This was shot last year, and Kim puts Kourtney and Scott, you can kind of hear her in the background.
Man. Getting back together.
These are the type of things that keep me up at night. Is Scott Disick going to get back with Kourtney? Like, this would keep me up, y'all.
That's exactly why they keep recycling the storyline. I think we all know at this point, these two people do not want to be married. They may still go back to each other in between breakups, but they are not going to get married. They like other people, and they're happy.
I feel like for the long haul, they're going to be like the Goldie Hawn and the Kurt Russell of the Kardashian clan.
Right.
Yeah, they won't get married. They'll still rock out and have kids and always be within arm's reach of each other.
But do y'all really think she would give up Travis Barker for the, what is he called? The king, the court? What is he called?
Lord.
After all those kids, you can tell she loves the Disick.
Baby daddies always think they can come back with the Disick.
She loves the Disick.
Okay, so when Keisha Cole first hit the scene, she had a noticeable space between her front teeth. Loved it. But in 2008, the singer stopped shopping at the Gap, if you know what I mean.
And
now she's second guessing that decision. She dropped a pic on her IG stories where she's at the dentist's office and she said, thinking about opening my Gap back. I'm here now. Thoughts? Now, I always love that OG recipe, Keisha Cole, because it made her normal. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of times people get into business, they get a little bit of money, and they change everything they don't like about themselves. Right. Gary, what you think? You think she should keep it how it is or go back to the old look?
Oh, no, hey, girl. She should definitely go back to the old Gap because men like gaps to go through. And I think she would do great, honey, with her old Gap.
Just get it back.
Gary, why you got to make it gross? See? J. Cole said the crooked smile, right? And you like that about people. It shows character. Like, that's when she had, like, them hits. She was killing it. She sang from her soul.
But, Portia, you remember when Nas had the chip tooth, Brad? Y'all remember that? Like, chip tooth Nas was more dangerous than, like, you know, like, fancy, like, wave Nas.
So, Portia, do you ever feel like getting rid of Coco and Chanel, honey, and going back to the old you?
You know, I've thought about evicting them, but you know what? They just will not go home. They won't leave.
They pay her rent, so they're here to stay.
They pay their bills. They're staying.
America loves those stowaways.
Now, when they stop paying their way, then we're going to eat.
I would stop watching Housewives if you ever did that. I would stop watching Housewives.
Okay. All right, everybody load up into the time machine.
Oh, the time machine.
All right, because we're throwing it way back in this story from 1986 to 1993, one of those popular sitcoms on TV was Perfect Strangers.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And Bronson Pinchot played a happy-go-lucky immigrant named Balky. Remember his Dance of Joy
Dance of Joy for Cosenlani.
Despite having a hit show and lots of fans, in real life, he was depressed and in a bad relationship. Bronson said, I'd go home from people screaming and police barricades, and then I would go home, and my girlfriend at the time wouldn't even look up from the TV. He eventually worked through his issues with a therapist, and he's still acting. And he's also, if you wonder where he's been, he's voiced over 100 audiobooks and won a bunch of awards for it.
This is the case of a star who is not a hoe in the streets and on drugs, etc. They're the ones who get treated bad. But the ones who are out here running around with this person, that person, they enjoy it. They celebrity. And look at him. He's a good guy.
None of us are superstars in our own home.
No.
I mean, I'm not. My wife doesn't go, oh, my God. So, Heidi Hamilton, she's like, hey, the dog has diarrhea on the floor. I'm on a Zoom call. Can you get that? Susan, what's the door? I'm like, I just got home, and I'm cleaning up dog diarrhea.
When I come home, I'm such the super. My mom, if I'm sitting and Dish Nation comes on, she will literally tell me to shut up while I'm on Dish Nation. I'm like, but I'm sitting right here.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right here. Okay, y'all, from one throwback to another, where did stars go to complain before there was Twitter and Instagram? They went to Arsenio Hall. So Arsenio explained this to People magazine, and he said, I remember getting calls from Tupac saying, hey, man, I got some problems going on. Can I come on and talk about them?
Yes.
I Black Twitter, he said. Wow. So what celebrity today do y'all see using Arsenio to vent if he was around today?
I definitely feel like 50 Cent would have been on there a lot. Tekashi 6ix9ine. Kanye West episodes of Arsenio would have been epic.
Am I so far out of the loop? And I understand if I am, and that's fine. It makes sense that I would be. Is there Black Twitter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of getting it from the App Store, it's in the App Store.
Well, yeah. I'm all over Black Twitter.
In there. No, you're in there, Frank. The Black Twitter has
I got to set up my Black Twitter account.
It's invite only, Heidi. Invite only.
Oh, damn it.
It's just Twitter for you.
It's just Twitter.
Heidi can come with us.
Yeah, it's Twitter with raisins for you, Heidi, but we love you. We love you. We love you.
You're not coming to the Twitter cookout.
Leave the raisins at home, Heidi.
All right, guys. It is time for my favorite part of the show, Porsche's Baby Report.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Today, we got to congratulate Catherine McPhee and David Foster. Now, the couple just had a healthy baby boy. Their first child, actually, it's the first child for Catherine, who's only 36. And it's David, who's 71. He has five daughters. This is his only son. So he's having his first son at 71.
Son.
Yes.
Wow. 71.
Yes.
Ooh,
wow. Yeah. Frank, you think he's excited about that? 71 and finally got that boy?
Yeah, I think he's super excited. I think that's why he actually went back to the well, you know, because he had five daughters to get that son. Because I can't imagine. I'm 50. I got a son and a daughter. It's like, I'm done. Being 71.
What if you get married to a young woman?
New baby, getting married to a young woman.
In the future.
Oh, my next wife? Well, thank you, Heidi.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah.
I think he's more excited about it. He's not the only one in the house getting his diaper changed now.
She's got double diaper duty.
Yeah, she's changed 12 diapers. Seven of them were David's.
Frank, when you turn 71, you call it going back to the well. It's not a no more. It's not a vagina. It's called a well.
It's a well. Yeah.
It's just a well.
It's just that. It's a deep, deep well.
You're just gonna have to lower me into it. The whole body's lower me into it.
I'm a minor.
With a flashlight. With a flashlight.
When his son goes to college or high school, I mean, he's gonna be 90 something.
Hopefully, yeah.
He ain't gonna be around that damn long. Yeah.
Well,
so
don't
we can only
Stop.
She need to be ashamed of herself, old as he is, having a damn baby. I thought all he could do is pee in her at this age, but they still make
you
babies.
You gonna be about that old when you have one?
They still swim. They still swim.
Yo, you ain't made one yet either. You better come off or you just gonna
be like Dory. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
My tadpoles don't swim, honey.
Just keep swimming.
My tadpoles lay on the bed.
All right, well, up next, find out who turned down a chance to work with Michael B. Jordan. And Dish Nation is brought to you in part by ZzzQuil Pure Z's, helps you fall asleep naturally.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, well, you remember Daniel Kaluuya from the movie Get Out?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't able to get in to his own premiere.
Wow.
So
what?
You already know the vibes, man. Daniel Kaluuya is out here killing it right now as Fred Hampton in the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. Well, here's the crazy part. Daniel recently talked about his other big movie, Get Out, and he revealed that after clearing his schedule for the Get Out world premiere, he wasn't even invited to attend. Check this out.
Why did this happen, that you didn't go to the premiere? You weren't invited to the premiere?
No, they didn't invite me, bro. They didn't invite me.
That can't be true.
On the Sundance world premiere, I was in Atlanta because I was shooting Panther. I was shooting Panther and then I was chilling and I was like, I cleared my schedule. I was like, yo, I really wanted it. And then they just didn't get an invite, man. I wasn't invited. So I was just in my bed. Someone texts me, it's gone really well. I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Wow.
That's like y'all having a huge Dish Nation party and not inviting me. Like, I'd be pissed, y'all. I'd be crying in my bed, y'all.
But they paid you to do the movie, so they gonna have to, I mean, you get one of them, you got paid to do the movie, be happy.
Gary, he was legit the face of the movie. Like, every poster you saw had his face plastered on it.
Well, but head crack, it was art imitating life, honey. That was art imitating life, so he got out.
I feel like Gary has a point right now, okay? This probably is art imitating life. That same one tear, he cried in that movie. He cried his same one tear.
He sure did.
All right, y'all. There aren't too many people who would turn down a chance to co-star in a movie with Michael B. Jordan or next to Michael B. Jordan, especially I know Sherry. But I know one person that did, y'all. Eddie Murphy turned it down.
Let me tell
you what happened. In a recent interview, Eddie recalls Black Panther director Ryan Coogler pitching an idea for an earlier version of Coming to America sequel where Michael B. Jordan would play the son looking for love. Mm-hmm. Well, Eddie Murphy eventually declined the pitch, saying it just wouldn't work. And I think he said that because they wanted him to play his son, and then Eddie said the story would then be about the son more so than the characters that have become a part of our culture.
Oh, so he didn't want to share the screen with another big star. Nah. Okay.
Because I thought sequels were definitely about the next part of the story, okay? Definitely about the son now. Definitely not about you, Dad.
It is.
So I don't get that.
He said the characters live like a happily ever after life, so people would want to see those characters and what they're doing, he felt.
How can you not want to make a movie with Ryan Coogler? Like, he doesn't miss, y'all. So I think this was a missed opportunity on Eddie Murphy's part.
No, it wasn't true. Eddie Murphy is a bigger star than on Ryan Coogler. Eddie Murphy been known for years. Eddie Murphy was not about to mess up him and Arsenio's money because the show was about them, not no damn Michael B. Jordan. So that's why he kept it that way, honey. Boom.
I mean, but on the upside, instead of using Michael B. Jordan, they're going to use Jermaine Fowler, who's like, you know, he's kind of on the rise. So instead of taking somebody who's already a star, you're making a new star, so it's a win-win for everybody.
But you know what? Old heads got to remember, too. And old heads got to remember at the same time, you're still going to get your shine. You're still going to get honored by passing time. You know what I'm saying? Like, this would have been great for
Not
Ryan
old
because
heads.
He could have taken old heads.
See, Gary, you're going to get your shine, baby.
He and Michael could have taken it on. And we could have a whole bunch of different come back to America.
Hey, it's not too late. The next one can be about the sun.
No people sick of that. So, honey, this is enough.
We are never sick of coming to America.
Now, hold on, bro. I don't know if they could do that. Because how they going to switch them out? Like they did the moms on Fresh Prince and just bring in Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not going to work, Parsh. I don't think it's going to work.
Maybe he's going to be another character.
Red said, just switch them out.
Up next, funny lady Amy Poehler checks in to Dish about her new movie, Moxie.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Hey guys, welcome back to Dish Nation. It is my pleasure and honor to be getting ready to sit down with Amy Poehler and the all-star cast of the new Netflix film, Moxie.
Me and my friends protested everything. We made a ton of mistakes.
But you're glad you did it all right.
Of course. What are you gonna do, nothing?
Wrote Moxie is a badass.
You know what's messed up? I got sent home for wearing a tank top. Meanwhile, Jason is constantly shirtless.
People refuse to call me by my new name.
I don't like being voted best ass.
Says to draw hearts and stars on your hands to show support.
That's hot.
So, Amy, I wanted to ask you, when you were in high school, who were some of the people that high school Amy would have been flabbergasted that she would have met? Because you've met a lot of famous people by now.
Well, I actually had this come true in real life, which is I once did a sketch on SNL when the host was Jon Bon Jovi, and I recreated my high school bedroom, and I as the cold open for SNL, and I had Jon Bon Jovi come out of a poster and come and talk to me, and I played my 13-year-old so yeah. And fun fact, Jon Bon Jovi keeps it so tight that he wore the same outfit that he wore in the picture on the poster. It still fit.
Game over.
Whoa! Bon Jovi keeping it tight and right, apparently. Patrick, I will start with you because I was watching this film last night and I was like, man, this guy is such a freaking ass. So I want to know, you know, why did you want to take this guy on?
For me, it was kind of a no-brainer that I wanted to be part of this. Of course, I am playing the ass like you were saying. And you know, that's obviously unfortunate, but someone has to play that. And that's the reason that this whole Moxie movement, you know, creates the spark, and it inspires these other characters in the movie to go out and create this revolution. So it's an honor to be part of this cast, this crew, this movement, this film, and hopefully people can see beyond me being an ass.
Nico, I'll wrap it with you. Are you that nice in real life? Because I feel like what I saw on screen, you are that guy. Did you cry at Bambi? Are you that nice, sensitive guy? Please tell me, Nico.
He is.
He's asking me, all right? Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sensitive, I guess, you know. Yeah, no. I wouldn't say it's that far off. I'd say I'm like that, yeah.
Final question, Amy. Sunday is the Golden Globes. Are you prepped? Are you ready? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
So prepped, so ready, so nervous. So prepped, so ready, so excited. I can't wait. I'm so thrilled to do it again with my friend. What a year for movies.
Amy, thank you so much. I love this movie so much. I can't wait to tell my nieces to watch it. That's the first two people. I have young nieces. Thank you.
Oh, hey, thanks, Andrew. I hope they like it.
Thank you, guys.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back, y'all.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, so Meg Thee Stallion has made Congresswoman Maxine Waters a proud auntie. So recently, Meg sat down with Miss Maxine for Harper's Bazaar to chat, and surprisingly, the politician is a fan of the WAP song. Check this out.
I had paid attention to the young, gangster rap time when, you know, men were in charge. They said whatever they wanted to say. They said whatever they wanted to say about women, what have you. But women, didn't say what they could say or wanted to say or dared to say. And so I thought, that's audacity. So I'm with you. I'm fine. I have no problem with that.
WAP stands for Woke-Ass Politician.
And that's dope that somebody like Maxine Waters would co-sign a song that so many people were offended by. What you think, Gary?
I think it's a great thing because we got to still remember, honey, Maxine Waters once had a WAP. So, I mean, hey, so cool.
Oh, my God.
That she shared, you know, with the other young
Gary,
lady.
That part. Stupid.
But yo, can y'all actually imagine Auntie Maxine blasting WAP on the way to the Senate, singing along, getting ready for the day?
Yes.
I could see it.
Because she's always driving around our neighborhood blasting music. She's beautiful. What? I love her so much, man.
She is reclaiming her WAP.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I mean, y'all trying to act like because somebody's older, they still can't have WAP.
Exactly.
I'm sure, Bradshaw, she listened to Millie Jackson. So dare you have
it. Her last name is Waters, honey. Waters.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.